Rebel Room, since the last time we've joined you, we've learned a little bit more about both the UNLV football and basketball teams. Case Kiefer here alongside Ray Brewer and Mike Romala, as always. A little bit of groundswell of support, excuse me, people thinking maybe UNLV football could have turned the corner, but a disappointing result on Saturday, losing 41-10 to San Diego State. But I think a little bit more positive reviews out of the first few basketball practices. Where do you guys want to start? What do you think is the biggest change since we came last to you a couple weeks ago?
I don't think much has changed for football. I mean, I think this is a game most people before the season and leading up to the game sort of penciled in as a loss. So I don't think if you're weighing in the course of the season, I don't really think it affects their bowl chances that much. I think that game was pretty much a loss all the way. So I don't think like that's a very dramatic turn one way or the other. So, I mean, I don't think much has changed for UNLV football.
Yeah, San Diego State is now 27-3 in its last 30 games, you know, including three victories against UNLV. And you saw the best team in the Mountain West, the way they were able to run the football, the way when even things didn't go right for them, they had that turnover there on the goal line to open the game that they were able to just slowly wear UNLV out and put the game away. UNLV rushed for just about 100 yards, which is the one takeaway for me that is kind of eye-opening where, you know, UNLV entered as a top 20 team nationally in rushing yards. In the games they've won, San Jose State, Idaho, they've been able to really pound the rock well. They were even able against Ohio State, a top 10 team, to have Lexington break through and get a few yards, but totally non-existent against the Aztecs.
Yeah. Second year in a row that San Diego State has just completely, where UNLV's had a top 10 caliber run attack, you know, statistically in the nation, and San Diego State just completely shut them down, you know, 3 yards per carry. And Sanchez, Tony Sanchez said after the game, he looked at the box score, he said 106 rushing yards, we're not going to win any games rushing for 100 yards. So, I mean, that's where it is. San Diego State shut them down, and they were just much better up front.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it greatly altered my expectations or anything. I just thought maybe I was a little bit more down on the performance and result, even though I didn't see the game. I was covering a fight. But, I mean, 41-10, really not that competitive. I mean, you saw the line crash all the way to below 10. It seemed like, to me at least, there was people thinking, like, hey, maybe UNLV can give San Diego State a game this year. And I just think that this was more of the same, which, you know, I think you would want to see a little bit of improvement in that area. And I don't know, like you said, rushing for less than 3.5 yards per carry, not getting anything else going on offense. I know San Diego State is good on defense, but I guess I came away from this game maybe a little bit more negative than you two.
Yeah, I think, you know, Tony Sanchez was on ESPN's game day. They built the narrative up of course, you know, Las Vegas is healing from the mass shooting. And, you know, UNLV football game is going to take center stage. They're going to, you know, have a better crowd than usual, which they did, 19,000. You know, they're going to honor all these first responders and cops and hospital workers, which they did. And UNLV had some fight and spirit for a good portion of the game. Sanchez said it best. He said, you know, we had a chance to win. We were in the game for about 2.5 quarters. And then just a testament to how good San Diego State is, they just really put UNLV away. I mean, this is a team that's beaten a Stanford this year. This is a team that's eyeing a New Year's Day bowl appearance.
It's a top 20 team.
Yeah, it's a top 20 team. And UNLV got soundly beat by a top 20 team. Now, the rest of the schedule, since I could flip to that now, if that's okay, Mr. Moderator.
This is a big game for us this week. I believe we made a bet on a previous podcast.
Yeah, I don't think there's a game the rest of the way they won't be competitive in. What's the line this weekend?
Guess.
Air Force 8.
Yeah, just about. 7.5. You told me I was crazy when I said it would be at least a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, UNLV, I think Air Force isn't built to really beat UNLV. It's snowing, though, and did you see the snow pictures online?
I haven't.
Yeah, and you know, that obviously worries me, a team that's used to playing in the heat. But it feeds the run, and if UNLV could pound the rock, you know, get channel their inner physicalness and pound the rock, baby.
This is one of those games where once you lose to Howard to start the year, you've got to flip a game at some point along the schedule. And this is one of those games where UNLV is not going to be favored, but it's still in that window where they could win it, whereas, you know, Ohio State And even I'd throw San Diego State in there. Those teams, UNLV was the underdog, and they did, you know, they weren't going to win either of those games. This is a game where they're underdog, but I could see them possibly winning it if they play a really strong game. So this is one of those games that you throw it out there. One of the you've got to flip one at some point. This could be the game.
You're flipping the BYU game.
It's looking more. It's more likely now than it was when you said it in preseason.
Kiefer, I just that night.
I don't even know.
Are you going to send me a text to tell me I was right? Are you going to call me? Are you going to maybe tweet at me so all your Twitter followers will know that you've been blessed with my knowledge? How are you going to congratulate?
Hey, by the way,
me?
When we got in the biggest argument when I flipped is when you guaranteed victories against both Air Force and BYU. So I'm saying right now there's absolutely no way they beat both Air Force and BYU. I'm not ready to give them the BYU game either. I don't even know if they're going to be favored in it still. It's going to be very close. It depends what happens.
BYU is going to come in here with one win or whatever they have, a terrible offense. Their spirit's going to
be very bad, but their defense spirit, is way better than
their
UNLV's.
Spirit's going to be down. They're on their 18th quarterback. Ty Detmer is the worst offensive coordinator in the history of college football, yet you can't do anything with him because he's a Heisman Trophy winner and legend. And the Rebels are going to flip the game like Grimala wants so they can continue on their quest to be disappointed in Reno.
If they come in as a favorite, does it still count as flipping it? Because I think they might. The thing I would say, though, is that, I mean, UNLV still has way worse loss than BYU. BYU has kept their games against really good teams closer than UNLV has. Like, I think you're going a little far just saying 100% UNLV is going to win. I mean, this is still, like, around a pick'em game. I think if I played right now, BYU's maybe, like, a two-point favorite.
I mean, at least it's not double digits. I mean, entering the year.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I said it would be double digits. I'll own up to that. I'm just not ready to say I'm wrong. And I'm especially not wrong when you guaranteed victories against both these teams.
I know. But at least I have live action. I think the Rebels still have live action, too. They've played five. They've got seven remaining. They need to go, help me out here, 4-3.
Is that it?
4-3 to reach a bowl, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And Reno's god-awful, but somehow Reno beat Hawaii, who UNLV has in its yard as well. So there's two opportunities to win. Fresno's not that good. That's a third opportunity to win, even though it's at Fresno, and Fresno does draw a great home crowd. Air Force, BYU, the other games, and you got Utah State at home.
Next home game,
next
weekend.
Home game. Yeah, 2 weekends from now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so they got a chance. They got live action, and they've had live action before. And this is the one asterisk with all my BYU talk, and when you're doing the math for a bowl game, the Rebels, whether it was, you know, having a lack of Jimmys and Joes to plug in, remember against Wyoming to close the year 2 years ago, they only had one tight end available. They've battled with injuries, lack of players in certain spots. For whatever the reason, they've sucked at the end of seasons. So if they continue to play like they have been playing, you expect them to be in all these games. But where do you factor in, before we shift over to basketball, the fact that they've just been awful at the end of years? I mean, that has to go into your equation in trying to predict the future.
Well, that's it. That's the most obvious answer, I guess, would be depth. And that's something that they don't have. They still don't have. You've got to go multiple recruiting cycles before you start to have a two deep and a three deep that can kind of help you through seasons. And I don't think they have that. So you're probably, if you want them to finish the season strong, you're basically in the boat of you've got to cross your fingers and hope for no injuries at positions that can hurt you. Like, running back could hurt you, quarterback could hurt you, offensive line, you could probably, survive another, something, a minor injury in the offensive line, but they're already on their third string center there, but that's such a strength that they could probably survive it. Defensively, you're about as bad as you're going to get on defense, so it's like, how much more is an injury going to hurt the defense? So you're basically, you're going to have to get a little bit lucky if you want to finish the season strong in terms of, depth.
Yeah, if you keep Lex healthy, you got a chance. If he goes down, then there's going to be question marks. But at least we got live action. We're talking about the Rebels. We're in October. Today's Columbus Day. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
I just was looking at the calendar.
There you go. Yeah, I think overall I agree with you. Depth obviously is going to be a huge factor. I do think, it seems like they have a lot of offensive line banged up. I know they're deeper than other places there, but you're getting pretty perilously thin there, which is kind of a scare that you could repeat past years. But I also kind of agree with what – I mean, totally agree with what Brewer's saying, is that I don't remember a time when they've had seven games left when there's not one you look at and say, okay, there's no way they're winning this. Because, I mean, any of these games they can win and we wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, they've reached a point where they're good enough on offense where if they play a good game, you're talking up over 30 points, 35 points they can put on the board. Reasonably, you could expect that against anyone left on the schedule. And if you put that, you put 35 on the board, not many teams are going to be able to run away from you at that point.
Yeah, and if
you're keeping it close.
Armani's been great in three of the five games. He'll never face Ohio State or San Diego State again. So I think he's going to continue as he gets more comfortable with the pace of the college game to get better. And that may be your difference maker right there.
Yeah, that could flip the trend of down performances at the end of the year. Maybe Armani Rogers' progression makes them actually get better at the end of the year. We'll certainly be along for the ride. Excited to see what they do at Air Force on Saturday afternoon. The other team in town, 0-0, of course, but getting ready for the season. Some excitement there. UNLV basketball, I know you've been out to talk to them a little bit. Mike, what are your first impressions of this team?
First impression is just they're bigger. Like they look like a basketball team now. You know, when they come off the bus on the road, if you watch them come off the bus, you may be sort of impressed by their physical stature, which last year you weren't, you know. They didn't look like a... I mean, your first impression, they look like not a lot of scrawny guys, a lot of small guys, not the most athletic team. This team you're rolling out this year at least can put some instill some instant respect into your opponents because they've got Brandon McCoy, who's huge. They've got Shakur Justin, who's a big guy. They've got better athletes. So they're definitely more equipped to compete at their level, and they'll probably be the most talented team on the floor most nights when they play this year.
Yeah, so, you know, my take is Menzies has done a tremendous job flipping this roster. We've used that word flip a lot today. And he definitely has some guys out there who could play. They were so bad last year that having a massive turnaround, going from less than 10 wins to reach an NCAA tournament would be quite a feat. You worry about a few things. One is, okay, we got a lot of new guys. How are they going to mold together? How many games is it going to take them to get together and play? The schedule, I think, is very forgiving. You've got big opponents in spots that are winnable, you know, here in Las Vegas. Two, and I've brought this up a few times and had some mixed reactions, so I'll ask you guys is, I think, you know, this year we learn about Marvin Menzies as a coach. Like, how is he going to be on game day? Because obviously this is a step up for him. And, you know, he's going to have some situations where his managing of the rotation or his X's and O's and strategies at the end of the game are going to make a difference because everybody, even the program's biggest critic, gave him a pass last year.
Well, if you look around the league, the Mountain West is an interesting spot for basketball. There's no more Steve Fisher at San Diego State. There's no Larry Shyatt at Wyoming. There's no Steve Alford at New Mexico. Who are the great basketball coaches in this conference right now?
The guy from Reno.
Musselman. Musselman, who's done it for a couple years.
And he's a pro. He's had some pro experience.
Is Leon Rice? Is like who? I don't see like the... I don't think Marvin Menzies is going to get outcoached. Like that's the least of my concerns.
I mean,
like,
who are your top? If you look at your top three teams, I think it's Boise, Reno, Scarlett, and Gray every day.
I'd probably go San Diego State ahead of Boise State, but UNLV is in that top three.
See, for me,
I would normally seed to you guys, but I would say San Diego State has to be in the top three.
Yeah, but see, I mean, with me, with San Diego State, and I say this with a grain of salt because I've never been a San Diego State guy, but how do they respond with a new voice? Even though it's a similar voice, Fisher's not there. Is this kind of the beginning of San Diego State leveling off a little bit? Or do you think they're still the machine, still the team to beat? Tough to win there because the show is just turns it into a great home court advantage.
I mean, the infrastructure is just still there that I think you have to see a big drop-off before you call for one. I mean, you can't just throw a UNLV team that went, I mean, what, won three Mountain West games last year, throw them above San Diego State, who's been above them for the last decade almost now.
Yeah, but
San Diego State, they may level off eventually. They might drop off from Steve Fisher. But for now, what they have coming back is in terms of talent. They have, you know, enough athletes and size. Like, if you look at their roster, they're one of the teams in the league that could compete with – that I would throw up there with UNLV in terms of just, like, talent and, you know, stepping off the bus. So, like, that's what they have for now. It may tail off, you know, if they can't recruit – if they can't keep recruiting at that level. But right now I think they have most of what they need to make a run in the league. So I would that's why I would put them up there with UNLV and with Reno.
Yeah. Yeah, I just – again, right now on paper, which is all we're talking about with every team, the things I like about UNLV is, okay, they have a real point guard. Okay, they haven't had a guy who really has had a stranglehold on that one position in quite some time, right? I mean, Anthony Marshall, Oscar Belfield were kind of the last time they had some consistency in the backcourt. Is that fair?
Anthony Marshall gave them a good year. When the last time they went to the tournament with Anthony Bennett, Anthony Marshall had a good year defensively, and he was shooting a little bit. But for in terms of like a real point guard, probably.
And so now we've sensed that with maybe a Cody Doolin or with the Seegers that just didn't work out that way. And I was way wrong on Seegers. I thought he was going to be the best thing since sliced bread. So interested to see how the stability is with the backcourt. Interested to see how your favorite player of all time, Mooring, plays when he's just not having the freedom to heave up the ball 25 times a game, you know, where he has to kind of play in the more organized. Interested to see how the newcomers are. You know, we've one of the best JC players in the nation last year, one of the best high school players in the nation last year. We've seen McDonald's All-Americans in recent memory come into UNLV to various levels of success, right? Anthony Bennett was great. Steven Zimmerman was solid when healthy. So how is Brandon McCoy going to perform?
If you're a UNLV fan, Brandon McCoy is probably the guy, the most transformational player defensively. He can bring a lot to the table defensively. You've got that big guy now that you can put in the middle, and he'll block shots and he'll alter shots, and he can change your defense and make you a good defensive team, especially with Justin. And the most comforting thing is Marvin Menzies. He's got a long track record at New Mexico State of coaching up post players. Like, he was a big man factory down there. Like, they've put way more guys into the NBA and into pro leagues, centers and big men than they had any right to at New Mexico State. So that's the one thing, you know, Menzies is probably going to nail, is he'll have Brandon McCoy playing the way he wants to play by the end of the year. Like, they'll be. That's the biggest, most important piece.
And along those lines, word on the street is the most improved player is, say the name?
Shekne Dembele.
Yeah.
Who looks much bigger. I mean, he was never sometimes, you know, you get the kids that are coming out of Africa and they're, like, new to the game and they're, like, long and slender and tall. He was not one of those guys. He was, you know, built up a little bit even last year. And now this year they're saying, you know, he's put on a lot of weight and he's muscular and he's strong, and so they expect big things out of him. So Marvin Menzies at the very least will have a rotation of big men that he can go to and kind of defend the basket, and that's sort of going to be their forte this year.
It all starts November 11th, home game against Florida A&M, and like Brewer said, a schedule where they're going to be able to get their feet under them a little bit. I mean, the first five games, all you would think should be wins, or they'll at least be decent-sized favorites. Then I think we start to learn a little bit at the end of November when they go to Northern Iowa and then play Arizona here. So, like Brewer said, pretty forgiving schedule. I think it's going to be fun to watch. What are some of these last things? Who are some of the guys that are kind of battling for minutes that we should watch, you know, I guess a little bit down the roster?
Well, Chris Clyburn is a guy who you want him to step up and win that fifth starting spot. You want him to be that third guard or that small forward. He can win that by shooting the ball well. Chris Clyburn. So he's the guy, aside from the four main, the nucleus, he's the first guy that you want to see good results from. Shekne Dembele, in terms of the front court, if he showed promise as a shot blocker last year, he led the team in block rate, and he looked like he could match up well in that area. So if he can be a good defender, developmental player, and come in and give you, you know, 15, 20 minutes off the bench backing up McCoy and Justin, that would go a long way. So you want to see the development from Dembele. And then Amori Hardy, who's the other newcomer this year, the third sort of headliner for that recruiting class, high-scoring guard, Is he going to be able to contribute right away? Because if he can come in and give you some outside shooting, some ball handling, some scoring ability in the backcourt, he'll have plenty of minutes. So backing up, you know, the one and the two. So those are probably the three guys that maybe round out that immediate rotation. So if you're looking for guys that you want to see that may impact games early on, those are three that I would look at.
All right, well, things looking up for UNLV basketball and maybe for football as well after Saturday at Air Force. We'll be able to determine that. And we'll be back then. For Ray and Mike, I'm Case. Thanks for listening to the Rebel Room.